morning. Today's daf is daf Chav Hey. I hope we put out the recording yesterday for the Chav Dalet until the Mishnah. Okay, so we're going to pick up with the Mishnah Chav Dalet Amud Beis. So we've been talking about in the Mishnah a number of times. We've been talking about putting out a judge or a witness, and we say that you can. There's a machlokas whether you can knock one out or only if you prove that they are a karov or they're pasul, that they're a relative of one of the litigants or that they're somehow otherwise pasul. And in this mission, we're going to talk about who are the people who are pasul for edus. Ve'elu hein apsulun. These are the ones who are pasul are not eligible to be witnesses. Hamasachik bekovya, someone who plays with dice, and that means a gambler. Ba'malva beribis, someone who lends money in ribis. Umafriche yonim, we'll translate it for right now as pigeon racers, although we'll get into more detail in the Gemara as to exactly what's the nature of these things. Vesochare shvias, and people who, in violation of the rules of Shemitah, sell fruits during the Shemitah year. All of these things are in Isser. And Rashi explains, "V'chulin me'ein gazlanin heim." Although this is mostly relates to the gambler and the one who lends with interest and the one who is mafriche yona, that it's an element of gezel of theft. V'Torah Amra, and the Torah says, "Lo sasha al tashes rasha aid v'kol shekein dayan." So he says that you can't, if someone is a rasha, does averus, then they can't be a witness, and for sure they can't be a dayan. So we're going to analyze each of these cases in the Mishnah to understand in what way is this an element of gezel, of theft. And Rashi says, "V'sochrei shvias." This is interesting. Rashi explains that the one who sells fruits of shvias, afterwards Rashi says, "Hayo v'chimud mamon mavira divrei Torah," since the love of money causes him to be over on Divrei Torah. Havale Karasha de Chomas, he's like a Rasha who profits, who pasul ladon ulaheyed, and he can't judge or testify, shenota achre habetza, because he'll be likely to follow after a bribe. So the idea is that if someone likes money so much that they're willing to violate the rules of the Torah, then they're probably not a good witness or a judge because they are susceptible to bribery. Alright, so we have these cases. Amar Rabbi Shimon says, Betchila hayakarnos osfei shvias. They initially used to call these people the ones who gather in shvias. Misharabu ha'anasin, when the ones who force people, who are ma'anis people, multiplied, chazru lekroson sochere shvias. They would call them instead, people who would do business or merchants in shvias. We're going to address that when the Gemara gets to it, not today. I'm Reb Yehuda. Emasai, when does this apply that a masachik bekuvio, a gambler, is not permitted to be a witness or a judge? Bizman she'ein lehem umnes elahu. When they have no profession, no job other than that, meaning they're a professional gambler. Avol yeshlan umnes shelohu, if they have a job that's not this one, meaning they have another job, then ksheir in their kasher. We're going to discuss exactly whether Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with whether the Tanakhama agrees with Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda is creating a distinction that the Tanakhama disagrees with. We'll address that in the Gemara. So that's the Mishnah. I'm sorry. By the way, today's Daf Yomi was sponsored by Gabi Cohn in memory of his grandmother, Chaya Bas Chaim Lev Halevi, our Limud HaTorah Shavuos Chus for Aliyah for her Neshama. Thank you very much, Gabi. Sorry for the delay in announcing that. Okay. The Gemara says, Chav Dalet Amud Beis, Mesachik Bekuvya Mai Kavod. Why is the guy who's a dice player, who plays with dice, why is he Pasul Eidus? What's he doing that's wrong? So Machlokas, Amar Rami Bar Chama says, Mishum Dehave Asmachta, V'Asmachta Lo Kanya. This is considered Asmachta. And, when we're dealing with an asmachta, that's not a valid kinyan. So what are we talking about here? So the classic cases that the Gemara uses of asmachta are a couple of instances. Let's say you're a home builder and you tell someone, I'll build your house, and if I'm not done by September 30th, I'm going to pay a fine, right? So when I say that, what am I doing? I don't really want to pay you the fine, and I don't plan to pay you the fine. I'm just telling it to you so that you'll be comfortable that I'm going to finish on time, or you know, but I don't really want to pay you, and I don't really want to commit to paying you. So therefore, when I do it, I'm somech, so asmachta, I'm somech that I'm not going to have to pay it. That's the only reason I'm saying it. So therefore, I'm not really committing to it. Another case would be that the Mishnah discusses, let's say I owe someone $1,000, and I don't have the full $1,000 to give him back, so I give him back $500. So now the question is, what do you do with the note? Because he's not going to give me back the note because I still owe him $500. On the other hand, if he holds a note that says $1,000, so then he can come collect $1,000 from me, but I've already paid $500. So we've encountered this many times. So what you could do is you give the note to a third party that everyone trusts, and the third party knows that you still owe $500 and etc. What happens if the guy tells him, you know what, I'm giving you $500 today, and I'm going to pay you the rest in a month from now. If I don't pay it to you in a month from now, I'm going to tell this third guy that he could give the note back to the lender. Then the lender is going to be able to come and collect $1,000 from me wrongfully, but he can do it. So that's a case of asmachta. Those are the classic cases of asmachta, where I say something, I commit to something, but I don't really plan to do it. So how does that apply to gambling? The idea is as follows, that when someone goes to gamble, in their mind, even though they know that they can lose money, in their mind, the only reason they're doing it is because they hope that they can make money, right? And at the end of the day, he thinks he's going to make money. And so therefore, when he enters into this transaction, and if he loses and he has to pay, he didn't really want to pay, he didn't plan to pay, and so at some level, he's committed to a transaction that he is not wholehearted in handing over the money, and therefore, someone who accepts that money from him, the person on the other side of the bet, is taking money from him that he doesn't want to give him, and therefore that's an element of gezela, of stealing. So that's how Rami Bar Chama understands it. Rav Sheshes says, kol ki agavna lav asmachta hi. That is not an asmachta. Asmachta would be, and I've learned that we always run out of time, so I'm going to say there's a lot of very interesting things here. If we get to it at the end, we'll get to it. But Rav Sheshes basically says, that's not asmachta. Asmachta is the kind of cases I said before, where someone's trying to convince someone of something, and then it's just a question of he didn't really mean the statement. When someone gambles, Rav Sheshes is saying, he understands that he might lose. Well, we could talk about the different views and understanding of Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes says, it's not stealing to gamble. So what's the reason that our mission says he's puzzle A? This Levishain Oskin be Yeshivo Shalolam. Because someone who's a gambler is a useless person. He's not a productive member of society. And therefore we say that someone who is like that is not going to be valid as a witness. And the way the Rishonim generally understand this is because he doesn't have a real job. And he doesn't understand the back and forth of business and responsibility and money. And if this is his only job, all his money comes from something that's a little bit on the shady side. He's not going to have the sensitivity to money that others ordinarily we can expect. Again, a lot of different ways of explaining exactly why what it means that he's not osuk b'yeshiva shel olam. But in any event, those are the two views as to why a mesachik b'kuvya, a gambler, is not believed as a witness. My benayu, what's the difference between them? The Achronim discussed there are many, many differences between them, but in any event, we'll say, ikke benayu, de gomer umnusa achriti. So the difference would be, what happens if he's a gambler, but he also has another job? And so gambling is a side gig for him. So then therefore, if you understand that gambling is usur because it's gezel, who cares whether you do it full-time or part-time? But if he has a real job and he has the responsibility that we talked about, that one gains from being gainfully employed and a productive member of society, so then he should be believed because he has that sensitivity. The fact that he also gambles on the side, who cares? So that would be a major difference between whether you understand Rami Bar Chama that it's gezel, or you understand Rav Sheshes that it's a question of whether he's a productive member of society. I'm Rav Yehuda. So now the Gemara asks a question. It says desnan. Because we see this, a raya that it has to do with the latter point of Rav Sheshet, that it's productive member of society. How do you see? You see it in our Mishnah. Because I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Emasai. When does this apply that a gambler is not believed as a witness? Bizman she'ein lehem umnes elohu. When he doesn't have a job except this one. Aval yesh lehem umnes shelohu. If he has a different job, kisherim. Right? So what do you see? You see from the Mishnah that since Rav Yehuda says that the clarification of someone who is a gambler who's not permitted is someone who doesn't have another job. That seems to imply, like Rav Sheshet, that the issue with the gambler is that he's not a productive member of society. If he has a job, then he is a productive member of society. So you see that from our Mishnah, from the end of our Mishnah, that should be like Rav Sheshet. Alma time of the Masnisim Mishum Yeshiva Shalom. You see that the reason, the underlying logic of our Mishnah must be because he's not a productive member of society. So that's a raya to Rav Sheshet. If it's a raya to Rav Sheshet, then kasha la Rami Bar Chama. It's a kasha on Rami Bar Chama. If you hold that it's theft, who cares if he has, if it's a part-time role or a full-time role for him? He's a thief. So the Gemara says, v'chitema, and if you're going to tell me, maybe you'll try and answer me and say, pligi rabbanan aleid Reb Yehuda, that you could say, fine, you're right. What did you quote me to prove that the issue is Yeshuva Shalom? You quoted me the end of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda makes that distinction. So maybe I'll tell you that the Tanakhama argues on Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the Tanakhama holds it doesn't matter whether he's full or part-time gambler, he's a thief. And right, so therefore, Rami Bar Chama can just say, I agree with the Tanakhama. You're saying like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, but you can't say that. Vaham Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi said elsewhere, these are the words of Chacham. So he says, the Chacham say as follows, that whenever Rabbi Yehuda uses the words in a Mishnah, when does this apply? Or Bameh, we often say, Bameh Dvar Marmurim, in what case are these things said? So the Chacham say, when Rabbi Yehuda says that, what he's doing is, he's not coming to argue on the earlier part of the Mishnah, he's coming to clarify it. So therefore, in our Mishnah, well, let's see, that's what the Chacham say. Rabbi Yochanan says, Emosai lefarish. And when Rabbi Yehuda says, Emosai, when does this apply? He's coming to explain, meaning he's agreeing with the Tanakhama. Ubameh, when he said, Bameh dvar mamurim, when were these words said? Lechalak, then he's coming to argue. So what do you see? You see whether, according to the Chachamim who say, both Emosai and Bameh are an explanation, or Rabbi Yochanan who says, Emosai is an explanation, Bameh is an argument, everyone agrees. Everyone agrees that when Rabbi Yehuda says Emosai, when does this apply? He's simply coming to explain, not to argue. So therefore, in our Mishnah, we say Masachik Bekuvia is Aser, is possible as an aid, and then Rabbi Yehuda says Emosai, when does this apply? So we just learned that he's coming to explain the Tanakhama, not argue with the Tanakhama. So we were saying maybe Rami Bar Chama could say, you who say it's Yeshuvo Shalolam, that's only like Rabbi Yehuda. I hold like the Tanakhama, who would say it's Gezel. But you can't say that because the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda agree, because Rabbi Yehuda uses the language of Emosai. So the Gemara says, Gavra, Gavra Karamis, you're asking me, the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says this rule of what Rabbi Yehuda means, doesn't mean that Rabbi Bar Chama has to agree with it. Mar Savar Pligi or Mar Savar Lo Pligi. Therefore, we're gonna say as follows, that Rami Bar Chama will understand the Mishnah that the Tanakhama says it doesn't matter whether it's a full or part-time vocation, it's theft. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's only if because it's Yeshuvo Shalolam, it's only if it's his full-time application. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that they don't argue, and therefore he would understand that the reason underlying our Mishnah would have to be Yeshuvo Shalolam and not an issue of theft. Now the Gemara asks, Vahatanya, is it true that they don't argue? In other words, we just finished saying, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that anytime it says the word Emosai, it means that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing. Vahatanya, we learned in a Braisa, whether he has a job besides this one of gambling, Ben Shein Lo Umnes Elohu, or gambling is the only job, whether it's full or part-time, Hareza Puzzle. You see that he says this is Puzzle. Now this is a problem. Because according to the way, if we're understanding that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda don't argue, so if you understand that they argue, the Tanakhama holds that in all cases he's puzzled because he's a thief. And the Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a difference. So then the Braisa works with the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama says it doesn't matter whether he is productively employed or not. he's a thief. But if you say that they agree, then who does this brisa go? Like, the brisa doesn't work. So it would seem that, in fact, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda do argue. The Gemara says, no. Hahi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfani. He's saying, the brisa, Einachinami, according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he'll say that the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda agree with each other, and therefore they say it has to do with Yeshivo Shalolam, and there is a distinction whether it's full or part-time. So who's the person who says then, who would not be reflected in our Mishnah, who says that no matter what, it's an asmachta and it's gezel, and therefore you can't do it? That would be Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. What do we know about Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon? The Sanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, La'olam echad mehen, ein echad mehen nazir, l'fish lo nitna l'zirus elo lahafla. So he says as follows, that, neither of them is a nazir because nazirus wasn't given elo lahafla. What is this talking about? So we dealt with this case a while back in nazir. So you had two guys sitting around, and they see a third guy approaching. One guy says, that guy's a nazir. And the other guy says, no, he's not a nazir. He says, if he's not a nazir, the guy who thinks he's a nazir says, if he's not a nazir, I'll become a nazir. And the other guy says, if he is a nazir, I'll become a nazir. So basically, one or the other of them is wrong. The guy approaching them is either a nazir or not a nazir. So you would think that one of them, when they figure out the guy coming, is he a nazir or not a nazir, one of them should now be a nazir. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, neither of them are nazir. Why? Because nazirus, you learn from the Torah, has to be bahafla. It says, ki yafli ish neder. And the word hafla seems to mean that it needs to be clear and concrete. So when either of them took on nazirus, it was dependent on a condition that they could not control. And therefore, that's not considered a valid condition, and neither of them are nazir. So how does that apply here? Because similarly, when someone is gambling, they are making a transaction dependent on something that's outside of their control. And if it's outside of their control, they're not really committing to do it. So just like you're not really committing in a case of nazirus, that you're not committing either in a case of gambling. And therefore, if you're not fully committing, it's an issue of asmachta and an issue of theft. Why do we compare, how do we just compare nazirus and general matters? Tosus discusses that. Others, I doubt we'll have time for that today. Okay. Malve Baribis. So in our Mishnah, we set aside from gamblers, another category of people who are pasul eidus are people who lend money with interest. And Rashi referenced before, because the pasuk says, Al Tashis Rasha Eid Hamas, that you shouldn't have a Rasha be an aid, and someone who does Averus, does Averus, we're actually going to discuss in the Gemara shortly, not today, about whether it's anyone who does any Averus or these specific Averus, but in any event, Malva Barivis, Amarava, so he says a lender, someone who lends money with interest, is Pasolatus. Amarava, Lova Barivis Pasolatus. That not only is the lender who lends money with interest Pasolatus, but the borrower is Pasolatus. Machlokas Rishonim, is this Midrabanan or Midaraisa that the borrower would be asur. Further machlokas in the Rishonim, depending on a different machlokas, a bayav rava, as to whether, what about the other people, the edim, the sofer, that's a question as to whether they're also pasulatus. But in any event, Rava says, not only is the lender pasulatus, but also the borrower. The Gemara asks, v'ha anantanan, malva baribis. We learned in our Mishnah, someone who lends money with ribis, with interest. So that seems to apply that someone who only borrows is not pasulatus. So the Gemara says, no. Understand that our Mishnah is saying Amalva Beribis means Milva Habav Beribis. If there is a loan that happens with Ribis, then all of the parties to it are Pasul Eidus. So it's not just the lender, but also the borrower. Bar Benitos Ashidu Be Tresadi. So this is not directly related to what we said before, but it's talking about disqualifying someone for lending with interest. Bar Benitos, that there were two people that testified about him. That he was a lender of money with interest. Chad amar kamei didi ozif biribuso. One said, I saw him do a transaction with someone where he collected interest. That was one witness. Chad amar, and the other person says, lididi osvi biribuso. So, and the second guy came along and said, I know that Bar Benitos is a lender of interest. How do I know? Because a different time he lent me money with interest. Right? So this is a borrower, not in this transaction. He's saying, in another instance, I know he's an interest lender because he lent me money with interest. Pasle Rava le Bar Benitos. So Rava said, fine, I now have two witnesses that says Bar Benitas is a lender of money with interest, and therefore he's Pasul Eidos. So the Gemara asks, Vaha Rava Hudamar Lova Beribas Pasul Eidos, Vahavale Rasha, Rava is the one who just said to us that a borrower, someone who borrows money with interest, is Pasul Eidos, and he's a Rasha. Vatoramra, and the Torah says, Al Tashes Rasha Eid Chamas, and the Torah says that you can't have a Rasha be an aid. So what's the problem? Is that Rava trusted this guy to say Bar Benitas was a lender of money with interest, but he said that he himself, how did he know that? Because he himself borrowed money with interest. And Rava is the one who told us that someone who borrows money with interest is Pasul Eidos. So how could Rava accept his Eidos about Bar Benitas? Because within his Eidos, he disqualified himself from being an aid. So the Gemara says, Rava L'Taimei, Rava goes according to his reason, which is in a number of places, but we encountered it at the beginning of this Masechta on Daf Tes, where we said, Amar Rava, Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo, Ve'en Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. That a person is a relative to himself. So we know someone can't testify about a relative. Who's a greater relative of me than me? So I'm a relative, and therefore, I'm not believed. I'm a karav, and therefore I'm not believed to testify about myself. So if I say that I did an isser, that I borrowed money with interest, I'm not believed for that purpose. Now, where is the next stage of that? What we discussed on Daf Tes is the idea of palginon dibure, that we divide his words. Even though he stated one thing, he said, I, Bar Benitas, lent me money with interest. So we don't believe him about incriminating himself because Adam karav eitzel atzmo. But we do believe him about Bar Benitas. Why? Because since he didn't disqualify himself, because we don't believe him about himself, so we're basically taking one statement and in a kind of inconsistent way, we're dividing it where we don't believe him about himself, but therefore it makes him kosher to testify on Bar Benitas. That was what we encountered with Rava, and that's the explanation about how Rava was able to passel Bar Benitas on the basis of testimony of someone who self-incriminated. Okay. Another case. Unfortunately, we've had cases like this a number of years ago, but, they found out a certain butcher was selling treif meat. It was cheaper to buy treif meat, so he was selling treif meat. Pasle Rav Nachman v'avre. So what do you see? That Rav Nachman passeled him for Eidos, and he removed him from his position. It used to be the shochet, or the butcher, was an appointed position. Like there's a moel, and there's a rabbi, there was a shochet. So that Rav Nachman removed him from his position, but you also see that he passeled him for Eidos. So you see another instance in which you passel someone for Eidos for doing something wrong. In any event, Azal he went, Rabbi Mazye v'tufrei. Rashi says that he let his hair grow long and his fingernails grow long, which Rashi said was part of his process of Higdil Sarav Tziparnav Lenaval Atmo, to make himself disgusting, Lasos Tshuva. Basically, he was going, it was part of his process of Tshuva, he took upon himself, he grew his nails long and his hair long, etc. Sav Rav Nachman Lachshurei, so Rav Nachman was saying, okay, it looks like the guy did Tshuva, let's take him back and let him be the butcher. Amar Lei Rava, Rava said to him, Dilma Arume Kama Arim, that maybe he's just tricking us, maybe he made it look like he's doing Tshuva, but how do we know he really did Tshuva? So then, what can he do to restore his status as a butcher? Kid Rav Idi Bar Avin, the Amr Rav Idi Bar Avin, it's like Rav Idi Bar Avin who says, "Hachoshet ala treifus, someone who is suspected on treifus, ain lo takana, he has no remedy. Acheyelach lemakom shein makirino, so until he goes to a place where they don't recognize him, v'yachzer aveda bedaver chashuv, o sheyotzi treifa mitachas yada bedaver chashuv mishalo." He says as follows, that he goes to a faraway place. Why? Rashi says, because if he does it in his town, maybe he's just trying to trick people. But if he goes to a town where no one knows him, and yet when something comes to his hand, and an aveda comes to his hand, a lost object, meaning someone else's money, and he gives it back to them, or he ends up with a piece of meat of his own that belongs to him and it's treif, and we find out that without making a big deal about it, he threw it in the garbage. So what do we see? We see that in the second case, we see that he's moved away from being willing to eat or feed people treifus. In the first case, we see that he's sensitive to other people's money and that he's not such a lover of money. And that we said that before, Rashi explained that someone who loves money is the reason we don't accept him as an aid. But here we see that he's gotten past his love of money because he was willing to return an aveda to someone else. And that's what he can do to fix things. Okay. So now we said we've addressed the gamblers and people who lend money with interest. Now we have mafriche yonim, which are people who race pigeons, or that's one of the views. My mafriche yonim, hacha targuma, here in Bava, we explained it, itkadme yonech liyon. If your pigeon is going to get there before mine, then I'll pay you. Rashi says I'll pay you kach v'kach. I'll pay you so much money. So what is that? That's basically racing. You go to the horse races. You go to the pigeon races. That's how you used to. That's how it was. Rabbi Chama Bar Oshia. Rabbi Chama Bar Oshia says ara. What is that? Ara is that they used to have a mechanism that someone would put out a pigeon who would attract other pigeons to come there. And so basically what would happen, they would actually tie the pigeon down. The pigeon would, though, fly up on the rope a little bit and make noise. And that noise would bring other pigeons from neighboring fields. Now, this is not real gezel, because as Rashi points out, the halacha is that if wild birds come into my, birdhouse, I don't own them. They just came there. They could leave. So therefore, if I put up a pigeon that's going to attract them, that's not gezel deraisa. But the Rabbanan said you shouldn't do it. So he's saying if this guy goes ahead and does that, even though it's only Mishum Darkei Shalom that it's Aser, we don't want him to be an aid because he's not sensitive to other people's money. So one says it's pigeon racing. The other says it's where you're drawing other people's pigeons to come to you. The one who says it's pigeon racing, my time alo amar ara. Why did he not want to say that it's where you attract other pigeons? As I said, that's not a real iser, it's not real gezela. Technically speaking, Minatari allowed to do it, and the Chachamim were just misakin it, so for something that the Chachamim were misakin, we're not gonna make impossible edus. So he says, okay, and the one who says that the mafriche yonim are the ones who attract other pigeons, why wouldn't he say that it was pigeon racing? So amlecha, hainu misakik bekuvyon. He was to say, the reason I didn't explain it as pigeon racing is because that's the same as gambling. What's the difference? You gamble that the roulette wheel should be red, or you gamble that this pigeon is going to get there before the other one. So that's a good taina. It seems that if the Mishnah is listing them as two cases, they should be distinct. And if they're both gambling, why would the Mishnah list both? So how does he answer? V'idach? He says, Tana tola bedas atzma, v'tana tola bedas yono. He says he had to address two kinds of gamblers. One who's more confident in himself, and one who's more confident in his pigeon. What are we talking about? Vitricho, we need both. The itana tola bedas atzmo, because if I only told you the guy who's doing something that he considers himself good at, so you have a craps player who thinks that he can beat the odds because he's very good at it, right? So therefore, he's that kind of gambler. So we say, hasam hudula gamaru makni. So you say, maybe that guy, the guy who thinks he's an expert in craps, he's not really, when he enters into a game of craps with someone, he's not planning to give up money because he says, I'm very good, I'm going to win, right? And so therefore, he is not wholehearted in paying when he loses. Da'amar Kimli on Amabez, the Kimli b'nafshoi, the Adana Tvei. He says, I know about myself that I know how to play better than this guy. I'm a better poker player or whatever it is. Avotola b'das yono emalo, but I'll say that, look, at the end of the day, when the pigeons race, that's not in his control, and so therefore, maybe it's only in a case where he thinks it's his skill that he's usher, because that's gezel, and that is an asmachta, but in a case where it's real luck, it wouldn't be a problem. V'itanatola b'das yono, or sometimes we also wanted to learn a case of someone who puts more faith in his pigeon than him. Damar benaksha talya milsa v'anaya danin l'nakushe tfei. That he says, no, that he has more faith in his pigeon racing, that he thinks he's going to win there. Why? Because the way the pigeon racing used to work, Rashi explains that he says, benaksha talya milsa, Rashi says, sheyesh lo dafin shal eit menaksin zu lazu. He would have two boards that would bang against each other. V'ayona shomas kolon. They would each have a unique sound. The yona, the pigeon, would hear the sound, umakera shebaila mizarza, and he'll recognize that sound is his owner telling him to hurry up, the pigeon, umaharis lo'of, and he'll go faster. I've actually seen videos of this where they have this, sport where all the people stand on the side and yell at their animals or make other noises, and that's how the animals race. So that's how it was in those days. So this guy says, look,
I'm convinced. I can't tell you that I'm going to win in craps. I don't understand it that well. I'm not that good at poker or whatever it is. But I tell you, I know how to shake that thing that's going to get my yonah to move. So therefore, v'tanu tolo b'das yonah, the amr b'nakshe talyum milsi. He's saying it's my banging that thing that matters whether the pigeon's going to win or not. V'anaya danu l'nakushe tvei. I'm a better knocker than he is. Avo tolo b'das atzmo, but he, but maybe he'll say when it comes to how to play the game and then the strategy, I'm not as good. So tzricha. So that's why I needed both. So the question was, why did you need both a gambler and a pigeon racer? If you understand that it's pigeon racing, is because there's different kind of people. Okay, meisve hamasachik bekuvia. We're going to do a long brisa here, but there's a question on. It's going to be a question according to the one who says that it is. It is the one who's drawing pigeons. Okay, why? Hamasachik bekuvia. So what is someone who plays with dice, who's a gambler? Elohim, this is them. Hamasachichim v'pispasim. Pispasim, Rashi says, are shivrei etzim, are broken pieces of wood, but it's basically, it's dice. You have a cube, you have some kind of, it's dice, like an official thing. V'lo v'pispasim bovav, not only with actual dice, amru, elafilu klipe agozim and klipe rimonim, even with shells of nuts or pomegranates, somehow they would take the shell and they would make some game out of it. You see sometimes people are really bored, they'll come up with anything to gamble something. The Emasai Chazrason, when do we consider them to have done tshuva that we would accept them as a witness? Mishi Yishabru es Pispaseyan, that when they break their dice, V'yachzeru behen Chazara Gemura, and they totally go back from doing this, Da'afilu Bechinam Lo Avdi, that they're not even going to play with dice when they're not gambling for money. Now, it's not usher to play dice games if you're not gambling for money, but the point is, when someone's doing tshuva, and you want to know, did he do tshuva, is he that careful that he doesn't even do it for when it's not for money? And Lachar, the Gemara is giving you an idea that when someone's doing tshuva as a strategy, you have to stay far, far away from what you were doing. Even in instances where it's permitted, he shouldn't get in that business because he's going to lead himself back into doing it be'isser. So that's what it takes to do tshuva from being a gambler. Malva Baribis, who's the one who lends money with interest, who's possible? This echad amalva v'echad alova, like Rava said before, whether he's the lender or he's the borrower. Ve'emasai chazarasan, how do we know that they've done tshuva? Mishikaru eshtareyem. When they rip up the shtar, now remember, this is still an outstanding loan. So he rips up the shtar. Now, A, he doesn't have proof. B, it becomes like a verbal loan, which we know cannot collect from Mechasim Meshubadim. So it's a big deal to rip up the shtar. But at the end of the day, he has a shtar that has ribbis in it. So if he rips it up, Yachzer ben Chazar Gemura, and he does real tshuva, Afilu lenachri lo mozfe, and he doesn't even lend money to a guy, or borrow money with interest from a guy, meaning he wants to stay so far away from interest that he has nothing to do with it anymore. At that point, we'll consider him to have done valid tshuva. Okay? Umafriche yonim. So we talked about people who are, well, we were discussing whether they're pigeon racers or the people who put up the pigeon to attract other pigeons. Elu shemamrin es hayonim. These are the people that are mamrim es hayonim. So Rashi explains that margizim osan ze al ze lehilachim. So now we have it's a little bit different than pigeon racing. This is cockfighting, dog fighting, whatever it is. They would take animals and they would bet on which animal is going to beat the other animal. So it's still a form of gambling. V'loyonim bovadam, not only did they say this about pigeons, that they're, you know, that they're doing cockfighting, el afilu behema chayva of, even a behema chayan of. And this is going to be the source of the Gemara's question, but we're still going to finish the brisa. What's the tshuva that these mafriche yonim do? Mishi yishabru es pigmeyem, when they break their pigmeyem. Rashi says pigmeyem, elu dafin shemzarzim behem. These are those boards that they used to shake to get the pigeons to move quickly. V'yachzer behem chazar gemura, and they do a full chazar, dafilu b'midbar nami lo avdi. That even in the desert they don't do this. Meaning what? That they don't do the they don't try and attract other pigeons, even in the desert. In the desert, it's not such a problem, because where did Chazal say you shouldn't attract pigeons is where you're attracting pigeons from your neighbors. But if you're in the Midbar, you're attracting truly wild pigeons. You say he doesn't do even that. Now Rashi says, how does that help? According to the one who says that they were attracting pigeons. But what about according to the one who says that they're pigeon racers, that they're gamblers? So Rashi points out, so obviously that would be the same as the first case. In order to do tshuva, he would have to stop doing it, and he would have to not even bet or do pigeon racing, not for money. Okay, so that's the tshuva that a mafriche yonim do. Socharei shviyas, people who do business with shmita fruits, elu shenosen menosnin b'peiro shviyas. These are people who do business with the peiros of shviyas. The emasai chazaratzon, how do they do tshuva? Mishadagia shviyas acheres, when it comes, I don't know if it literally means you have to wait for the next Shemitah or it means the next opportunity where he has fruits of Shemitah, v'yibadlu, and he doesn't do it. V'arm Rav Nechemya lo chazarta dvarim bilvad amru. It's not enough to just say, I'm no longer going to sell my parish shviyas, el chazaras mamon. He has to actually return the money. How does he do that? Ketzad. Amr ani ploni bar ploni kinasti masayim zuz b'parish shviyas v'harehe nesunim b'matan ala niyim. So he says, in order for him to do tshuva, he has to get up there and say, I, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, took in 200 zuz worth of peiros during Shemitah, which I was not supposed to do, and I'm giving them to aniyim, to poor people, as my form of tshuva. Okay, so that's the brisa. In any event, we walked through all four, we gave examples of them, and we said how to do tshuva. But, katani mias, we learned at least, behema. So when we were talking about mafriche yonim, we said that these are people who are cockfighters, and not only by pigeons, but even behema chayva ov. Now the Gemara says as follows: Bishlam alamanda amar itag deme yonach liyon. According to the one who says it's pigeon racing, my pigeon is faster than yours. Hainu demishkachas la behema. So then that's not a problem, because people do racing with things other than pigeons. They race with horses. They race with greyhounds. There's all kinds of racing with animals. But according to the one who says that the mafriche yonim are people who attract other pigeons, behemo bas hachihu is an animal capable of doing that. And Rashi explains, because if you send an animal out to attract other animals, the chayas are going to attack that animal. So you don't. That's not a good way of attracting other animals. So the Gemara says, it can be with an animal. Bishar habar, we're talking about a wild char, and this wild char, though, if you raise it in your home, you can get it to go out, and it will in fact attract other things, but the chayas aren't going to attack it because it's a wild char, it's not a regular char. Ukaman, who does this go like? The Amar Shar Habar Min Behemahu. But this has to be according to the one who says Shar Habar, because if we're explaining the behemah that we're talking about that you could do, attract other behemahs with, is a Shar HaBar, and that's how you explain behema. It only works according to the one who says a Shar HaBar is a behema. Disnan, because we learned in a Mishnah, in Klayim, Shar HaBar, Min Behemahu, that a Shar HaBar is a kind of behema. Rabbi Yossi argues and says, Omer Min Chaya, it's a Min Chaya. But in any event, according to the one who says a Shar HaBar is a behema, that is the way you could explain how a behema could be is not only a racing behema, but it could also be a behema that you send out to attract other animals, which would be theft, mishum dake shalom. Okay, Tana, we're now going to go through a series of brises that add additional things onto the four cases referenced in our Mishnah where someone is pasaledus. Hosifu alayan hagazlanim v'achamsanim. So they also said that a thief, a gazlan, a chamsan is someone who pays money for something, but he forces the guy to sell it to him. So I go to Maishi, I take his watch, I give him $100, but he didn't want to sell it to me. That's a chamson. So both of those are pasul edus. The Gemara says, gazlan, you're telling me that a gazlan is pasul edus, that they added that later? Gazlanim deraisahu. That's minatara. It says, eid chamas, that you can't have it. So the Gemara says, lo nitzercha, when the brisa said that they added a gazlan, it's not talking about a regular gazlan, because that's covered by the Torah. Elo matias cher shart v'katan. That it's talking about when a cheres shot of a cotton do a transaction, it's not a valid transaction. So therefore, if a cheres shot of a cotton finds a metzia, even though they picked it up, they don't really own it, right? Because they can't acquire something. So I go along, I see a cheres picked it up, I go grab it out of his hands. Technically speaking, I've not done something usur, Chazal said you shouldn't do it, I guess partially because it's not nice, but Chazal said because Rashi pointed out you're going to cause fights, that the father, the neighbor is going to be angry at you and they're going to come get in a fight with you, so therefore Chazal said you shouldn't do it. So someone who does do that and violates Chazal's edict about not doing that, it would also be pasul eidus. Meikar savar nisha. So why did they only add it later? Meikar savar. In the beginning, they thought metiach chayr shat v'katan lo shchichi, that it's not common that it happens, and therefore they didn't need to make gzeira inami, or they didn't need to make pasul eidus inami mifnei darkei shalom ba'alma. Or it just wanted to prove, in other words, the Chazal decided that if someone is violating, initially they thought if they're just violating our Darkei Shalom edicts, then that's not a problem and we're not going to make them puzzle edicts, but then they decided that they should. Kivin the Chazu, the self mamono hu de kashakli paslinu rabbanon. So that since though Chazal looked and realized, you know what, the nature of this transaction is they're taking money from him, and that shows he's not sensitive to other people's money, and therefore he would not be a good witness, and so they passed this kind of ganef who takes things away from a chirshot of a katan. Hachamsanim, so someone who forces someone to sell him something and gives money, meikarasavar, initially they thought, dami kayoyev, akroi ba'amohu, that they say he gives money, you know, so whatever, it's a close call, it's not such a, you know, we're not going to make him pasul eidus. Kivin the chazi de chatvi, once they saw that what was happening was, it wasn't even like they gave him money and then they took the item. What did they do? I would go and grab Maishi's watch, and then while I'm on the way out the door, I'd throw him $100. So it wasn't even like a discussion, it was just, they would just take things. So then Chazal said, Gazruhu Rabbanan. So then Chazal saw that the behavior of people changed according to some Rishonim. He saw the behavior change, so therefore they added this to the category of people who are apostle Eidos. Tana, Od Hesifo Aleim HaRoen HaGaboyim VaMuchsin. So they added another few categories of people. Roim are shepherds. The concern by a shepherd is that shepherds let their flocks eat in other people's fields, like you had with Lot and Avram. And therefore, they're thieves in a sense, and you would not want to trust them to be witnesses or judges. Gabayin and Mochsin are both tax collectors. The difference between a Gabay and a Moches, according to many of the poskim, is the machlok is about the difference, but you could think of it that one is the employee of a king, and the other is the agent of the king. How did this work? If I'm an employee of the king, I get a salary, and I have to go collect taxes for the king. If I'm the agent of the king, what would happen is someone would be, I'm the whatever region, this is my region, I would make a big payment to the king, and then I have authority from the king to go collect a little bit more than that from all of the people. That's how it works. So those people also, they said they're not valid witnesses or judges. So the Gemara says, why? Roim, so in the case of Roim, may karasavak kray ba'amohu, they said that, look, mostly they're careful that their animals shouldn't eat, but if they're passing by a field and their animals eat, not such a big deal. We don't have to pasul them la'idus. Kivin the chazud, the kamachavni, v'shadu l'chatchila, gazru ba'rabanan. But once Chazal saw that they purposely sent their animals into other people's fields, and generally speaking, Roam were not careful, so therefore they were gozer and said that they're pasul la'idus. Hagaboyim v'amochsin, these tax collectors, what happened? Meikara savar, initially they thought, ma'ide kitzlu kashakli, that they were only collecting taxes that they were supposed to collect. The king gave them authority. Dina de machusadina, they're allowed to collect it. Kivin the chazid the kashakli yisera. But when they saw that these guys were just going, running roughshod over people and raising much more money than they were supposed to, paslinu, and they said they're pasulatus. Amar Rava. Rava said, roa sha'amru, echadro behemadakav, echadro behemagasa. Rava points out, when we say that we don't trust a shepherd to be a witness or a judge, it doesn't matter whether he's a shepherd of little animals like sheep or goats, or whether he's a shepherd of big animals like cows or horses. So that's what Rava says. Umiyama Rava Hachi, did Rava say that? Vahama Rava, Rava himself said, Roa behema daka beres Yisrael psulin b'chutzlar it's ksherin. That someone who is a roa behema dakas, like sheep or goats, in Eretz Yisrael, they're pasulatus. In chutzlar it's their kasher. Why in Eretz Yisrael special? Because they wanted to have a higher standard mitnei darkei shalom in Eretz Yisrael. But in any event, but he says roa behema gasa, but a roa, and therefore they didn't want roim who in Eretz Yisrael who would let their animals eat other people's things. Roa behema gasa filu b'Eretz Yisrael k'sherim. But someone who's a roa of big animals of cows, even in Eretz Yisrael they're kosher. So what do you see? You see that people who keep cows are careful that their cows don't eat other people's grass. So how could Rava say that even a cow person is pasul la'idus if cow people from, you see, Rava's other statement that cow people don't let their cows eat in other people's fields. My la, I'm sorry. So he say, Hahub and Megadlim Itmar. No, he's saying, when did Rava say there's a distinction between little animals and big animals? Is if you're growing them in your pen, right? So if you're growing them in your pen, little animals can sometimes get out and eat other people's things. So they didn't want them to raise them in Eretz Yisrael. But big animals aren't going to get out, so therefore they're not worried. But if, as Rashi explained, if we're talking about Roim, about shepherds who take their animals out into the fields and they let them graze, they're going to end up grazing in other people's fields, whether they are grazing large animals or small animals, and therefore Rava says whether it's large or small, they're pasulados because they are gazlanim. The Gemara says hachinami mustabra. This makes sense that you're going to say that roim are pasulados midiktani namanim alai shlosha roi bakar. So he says you see this idea that roi bakar should not be believed because when we had the Mishnah before, if you remember, he says neman alai abba neman alai avicha. If a person says I'm willing to have my father or your father as a judge, that we allow them, we believe him. Why do we believe? Or it says, if he says, I want shlosha roi bakar, three roim. So the question is, it's only because he consents to have them, right? So it must be that why, and the way they're understanding the Mishnah is that the shlosha roi bakar, they're not valid for edos. So it's only because you accepted them as edim. But otherwise, they would be pasul. So you see that there's an idea that you should pasul roim from being edim. So the Gemara says, my lav la edos. Aren't we talking about Eidos? And this would be a proof that Roi Bakar should not be Eidim. The Gemara says, Lo Ladina. When we said that Shlosha Roi Bakar, we weren't saying that they're Pasala Eidos, which would be a Raya for this point that they should be Pasala Eidos. We were saying that that someone can accept upon him to have three Roi Bakar as judges. Dekanami, Dektani, this makes sense, Dektani, because we learned Shlosha Roi Bakar. It says three Roi Bakar, three shepherds. Ve'ila Eidos, if we're talking about Eidos, Shlosha Lamali. Why do I need three? Edom is enough with two. From the fact that it says three, it shows that it must be that Mishnah was dealing not with saying Roy Bucker should be invalid as witnesses, but that they should be, that someone could choose to accept upon themselves them as judges. So you're going to say, Vel Olamai Ladina, you're going to tell me that what the Mishnah was coming to tell me is that I could, if I accept them, they could be judges, but otherwise they can't be judges. My ear, Yishlosha Roy Bucker. If you're talking about judges, why are you telling me, shepherds? Kobe Tlasa de la Gamri Dina Nami. So he says, anytime you have three people who aren't educated, why does it have to be a roa? It makes more sense if you say a roa because they let their animals steal. But if you're telling me it's just because they're ignorant, so anyone who's ignorant. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamra Filu Hani de la Shchichi Biyishav. He's saying, no. What the mission was, the reason it said roi bakar is not because they're thieves, but it was coming to say, even if you have people who don't normally hang out in town, what's the significance of a hanging out in town? Even if I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I have some sense of, when you interact with people all day, you pick up some sense of what's fair, what's not, what's appropriate business ethics, what's not. But if I spend all day out in the fields and I have no idea, so I don't even have that sensitivity. So yet the Mishnah was telling us, even Roy Bucker, if that's who you choose as your judge, that's your choice. If you want three judges and both parties agree, that's fine. I'm Reb Yehuda, Stam Roa, Pasul, Stam Gabai Kasher. Reb Yehuda says that if someone is a Roa, that we assume that he is Pasul Le'edus. But if he's a tax collector, then we assume that he's Kasher Le'edus. Very quickly, Avud Reb Zera, Ovid Gabiusa Tzleisar Shnin. The father of Zera was a tax collector for 13 years. Kavi Asi Reish Nara Lamaso, when the head of the river, meaning the guy in the head of the region, would come to the neighborhood. So what would happen? Kiave Chazi Rabbanan. So Reb Zera's father, when he would see the Rabbanan, Amrle, he would tell them the pasuk from Yeshaya. He'd say, Lech Ami Baba Chadarecha. He would say, go, my nation, come into your rooms. And then the pasuk continues and says, Uskar de la Secha, lock your doors, ba'adech, behind you, and hide a little bit. So basically, he was telling them, go hide. That was what he told the Rabbanim. He gave them a pasuk in Yeshaya. Kavi Chazi Inshi Demasa, when he would see the regular people from town, not the Rabbanim, Amar Reish Nara Asulamasa, the head guy is coming to town, va'idna nachis abu lefum bro lefum abba, that the father, Rashi says, yishchot es abu lefnei aben, that they're gonna shech the father in front of the son, or sons in front of the father, which was another way of saying, Rashi says, kolomer yigba mehem momen, that he's coming to get money from you. So he would tell the Rabbanim, a pasuk, go hide, he would tell the people, the big guy is coming and he's going to take your money. And what would happen? Mignazu kuliyama. Everyone will go hide. And so then what would happen? Kiasi, when the Reish Nara would come, the head guy would come to assess the tax, and he would tell him a big sum of money, and Reb Zeir's father would tell him, Miman Navi, who should I collect it from? There's no one here. Look around. There's no people. Right? Because all the people were hiding, because he told them to go hide. So you see that he was a righteous tax collector, and therefore, when we say a tax collector should not be assumed to be a thief, you see the father of Zera was a righteous tax collector. He tried to prevent the people from getting taxed too much. Kinicha Nafshe, when Zera's father died, and he was on his deathbed, Amar Le Shekulei Tfleser Mai Ditzairi Libisadinoi, take the 13 maos that are tied up in a handkerchief, Vahadri Leila Planya, give it back to so-and-so, the Shakal Tinu Minei, because I collected the tax from him, below it's Tzirichuli, I didn't end up needing that tax, so therefore I have to give it back to him. So you see how honest Reb Zeir's father was as a tax collector, that he was going to return money that no one would have known that he didn't end up using the 13 things. So you see that you should not assume that a tax collector is a thief.